We're back to the Neil Haley Show in the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program. I know they're nervous. It's the final four. I'm excited to welcome the program from The Voice, Dexter and Andrew. Guys, how are you? And you guys got to be absolutely pumped up about Monday, aren't you?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, sir. We're pumped. We're ready to get out there and get on the stage.
Yeah, have a good time. And we're going to put on a show. I guarantee
that's it. Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. Put on a show, and this is it, right? Dexter, what is your thought going to be on Monday, what you're going to be able to do, your opportunity that you have in the Final Four? What is your thought process, and how are you going to put on that show to win?
Man, we've all been, you know, working so hard each and every day trying to, you know, to make our craft even better, and our coaches, and going even from our vocal coaches to our band. You know, each day we're going in, you know, working so hard trying to get this for this finale. And, man, we've just been trying to prepare, you know, for this. And my thought process going into it, you know, we just really want to go out there and just kill the show and just have a good time. And like each week, you know, our coaches tell us, you know, Blake, he's super laid back, and he's just like, man, you know, go out there and just, you know, have fun. You know, you made it this far, and just go out there and just act like it's your show and show America that. And I think that's what's put us to where we're at today.
Absolutely. And how can they vote for you, Dexter? Where's the best place they can vote for you? The fans,
yes, man, they can. There's so many ways. Yeah, and Andrew, yeah, there's so many ways that you can vote. You can vote
NBC.com/voicevote.
Exactly.
The voice app.
Yeah, the voice app is free. Don't cost nothing. All thing you got to do is
free. Absolutely free.
The only thing you got to do is download the app, and it shows you how to vote. It's super simple, and you just you got a little thing, a little arrow. It's like a little button. You just raise right up.
Yeah, and then you can keep streaming our songs on Apple Music. And
a lot of folks don't, you know, when they say stream, they just like, and people, a lot of people don't know how to do that. They just like, you know, they buy the song, and they just, you know, just listen to that one time. But
exactly,
Every time you play the song, it's a stream.
It's a stream.
And it kind of, and now they're doing this thing where, you know, all the songs that we've done in the past performances and the current ones that are going to be coming out, you know, the more you stream those constantly, the more votes, it's like a multiplier. And it kind of helps us out towards the end.
And there's this new thing that what we're doing, it's called the Xfinity remote.
Yeah.
That you can do with that. Like a lot of folks have, you know, some folks have Xfinity TVs, and you can use your remote to do that.
Yeah.
To vote.
So let's go really quickly, Andrew. Same question I asked Dexter. What are your thoughts for Monday and what your plan is?
Honestly, my thought process for Monday is pretty much just to have a good time, honestly, because, I want to go out and have a good time and just be myself, sing, you know, the songs that I want to sing and these songs that I've got coming up. I'm really excited for. I think that they're going to kind of show a different side of me, but at the same time, they're going to, you know, show that I still like to have fun, and they can kind of see the kind of artist that I'm going to be, you know, outside of the show as well. So that's kind of my thought process. Just go out and have a good time. Don't get nervous. And just, you know, sing my heart out and leave it all on stage.
And what do you want to say to your fans, Dexter, from this journey that you've been on now to the Final Four?
Man, just it's such a humbling and crazy experience that, you know, that there's so much love out there for us. And I just want to say thank you to the bottom of my heart. You know, I couldn't be more blessed to have such an amazing fan base. And It's crazy because there's so, I don't even know anybody in different countries, and there's people from different countries that are pouring out so much love and just saying, hey, you know, we love what you're doing, and we can't wait for you to come over to our country and play a show. And that's, you know, it's so crazy that, you know, that we've got to be blessed to have a platform as big as what we're on right now. And amazing support back home, for even, you know, in Alabama to the United States. It's just amazing. I just want to say thank you so much, and God bless. I couldn't be more happier.
Same question for you, Andrew. For your fans, what do you want to say right now to my nationally syndicated, internationally syndicated audience?
Well, I just want to say thank you to everybody. I mean, I had to go through the Twitter save to make it to the Final Four, and I literally could not be here right now without y'all. Like, you know, I'm truly, you know, honored that you heard something in me, and that you wanted to hear more from me, and you wanted to see me on the show a little more. You know, I am just truly blessed. Thank y'all so much, and I hope I don't disappoint, and I hope everybody enjoys what I got coming in the finale.
All right, fantastic. Everyone needs to tune in Monday night. And Dexter and Andrew, we'll see who wins. And the other final four contestants, Maylin and Geith, and see who ends up winning The Voice. But I'm going to be rooting for you guys because you're on my show, and I'll be tuning in Monday as well. So thanks again for calling, guys.
Man, thank you so much, man.
All right, take care, guys. All right, see you again. All right, see you later. Okay, bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, and welcome to Safety Talk. I'm your host and personal safety expert, Pete Canavan. I am joined by my colleague, branding and social media expert, Neil Haley. Neil, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Pete. We're counting down to summer, and it's going to make me happy because I will be able to transition to a new season. And I like that when we get to summer, you know, because the kids won't be going to school. It'll be a different transitioning, different type of situation, and getting to maybe sleep in a little later at times, hopefully. And I'm counting down those days for sure, like the kids are.
Yeah, well, I kind of have the opposite thing because, you know, my wife's a teacher. So after summer hits, she's home all the time. So
it's like, I used to do that same way.
Like I have my home office. And it's like
now stays home all the time. So it doesn't matter. I just want the kids to be not, I don't have to get up to get them up and ready to go to school. So,
right, right. Yeah, changing of the seasons. My allergies are driving me nuts here. So hopefully I don't have a sneezing attack in the middle here. But if it happens, it happens, right? So, but yeah, summer's here. Pool will get open soon. And you know, as always, I like to touch on a current news item or two at the beginning of the broadcast. And this week, we have one from both the digital world and the physical world. And I don't know how many people use the WhatsApp application that Facebook has, you know, purchased some years back. But the digital news item has to do with the hack of Facebook's 1.5 billion users that use this WhatsApp application. This is pretty freaky stuff that basically hackers were able to simply call a person's phone. The person didn't even have to answer the phone. This is where it gets really crazy. For both iOS phones, the Apple phones, as well as Android phones. And using a vulnerability in the WhatsApp application, they were able to covertly install spyware into the phone. Now, within minutes, okay, this is a major vulnerability here. Within minutes of this spyware being installed on the phone, this basically disappeared from the call logs. So not only did you miss a call that installed spyware, your call log didn't even tell you that spyware had been that you missed a call. So you wouldn't even have anything like suspicious, like, oh, what was this phone call I just received? I don't recognize it. Within minutes of getting that call, data started getting unencrypted and sent halfway around the world to some Israeli, you know, hacker company, whoever that was in charge, and revealing all the information on your phone, your location, messages, and even was able to activate smartphone cameras and microphones.
Well, I have the WhatsApp. I communicate with my team in India and other people sometimes, but really India is the big communications. How do I know if I was hacked or not?
You don't. You have to install the security patch. So they issued a security patch. But there are two really other crazy things that I just can't believe about this. The first is that an alarming number of people are unaware of this hack because WhatsApp decided to alert users via a press release and not through the app. So you would think that they would alert everybody and say, hey, go install the latest update. There was a security vulnerability. You might be affected. You may not. Go update it. Have a nice day. Right?
Right.
Didn't do that. So a lot of people, who's watching the news wires? How many people are reading the news every day? And how easy is it to miss something like that? So absolutely crazy that that this happened. So the other part of this is, you know, I always tell people, install the updates. Listeners, clients, install all the security updates as soon as they appear on all of your devices. Doesn't matter if it's a computer, your phone, your tablet, whatever. That way, at least you have the highest level of security available to you. It's obviously not going to protect you if something has already occurred, but you should have some anti-spyware, anti-malware, antivirus software on your different devices so that you do scan them periodically to make sure that they are clean.
Wow. Okay, so, really, so what's the recommendation for Mr. Cybersecurity? Should I go ahead and install the app, do my updates on my phone tonight?
Absolutely. Do it now while we're talking here, right? Every minute it goes by is another minute that they could be accessing the data on the phone. You know, could be listening to what you're saying right now. You never know.
But they're not able to get into certain things. It's more about they're spying on us now.
Who knows? They don't have all the detail.
Because we're being heard right now then. Hi, Israel.
Scary stuff. So that's our digital news item. And then unfortunately there's a physical safety scary news item. And this has to do about an arsonist that threw some Molotov cocktails at a Chicago synagogue on Sunday. Luckily they didn't set the synagogue on fire, but it wasn't for lack of trying. There's just so much hate against the Jewish community and people out there that are bent on harming others, bent on damaging property. And this new focus on the Jewish communities is really, really disturbing. So I don't know, but video footage showed the suspect. It illustrates the need for having a good video surveillance system in place that, could be used to deter, to record, to catch criminals. And we're going to learn a little bit more about securing our homes today with today's guest. So I'm going to lead right in there with our guest today, who is someone who has been in the security alarm industry for over 30 years and has been awarded a variety of awards. He's a noted speaker at many alarm industry conferences and events throughout the country. And he's also a best-selling author on sales leadership. He's the president of Proven Sales Strategies, and his new book is titled Security System Sales Leadership. And it is an Amazon bestseller. So that's awesome. So I'm happy to bring on today's show, Russ Ackerman, who will be addressing something of major importance, and that is residential security. So welcome to Safety Talk, Russ. Thanks for being on.
Great, man. Glad to be here. By the way, summer's already hit in Florida.
So summer's always hit in Florida.
Oh, man, you don't want to hear that.
I think it's going to be like 97 here tomorrow in North Florida.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got it, man. It's here.
Northeast PA hit mid 80s today. It was hot out.
Yeah,
it was hot. My air conditioning in my house was like, didn't know what to do. It was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So it was getting warm. But that's all right. That's all right. Summer's more than welcome. It was a long winter, and people are ready for that nicer weather. That's for sure. Yep. So we are, anything that can be done to improve safety is what we're all about here at Safety Talk, and we also seek out the latest, and newest solutions and technologies, both in the commercial world as well as the residential one. So your company provides, quote, peace of mind to families and business owners who are concerned with their personal safety. They're concerned with loss of property. So we're going to focus on the residential side of things today, as we sort of planned and talked about, because we do want to talk about more of a residential thing. So let's sort of dive right in. And, I guess there's sort of a two-part sort of big question here. And, how first off, can we feel safe in our homes? I guess it's kind of the first part of it. And, and then the second part is, what technology can we take advantage of to protect our homes and families in order to feel safe in our homes?
Yeah, great question. We get asked that often, and that's what we do, obviously, in the alarm industry. We try to provide solutions. And the bottom line is peace of mind. And peace of mind is a relevant situation. I mean, what it takes for you and your wife to feel comfortable at home may be entirely different than my wife. Of course, my wife has heard all the horrible stories, and she's heard the me come home from work and when I was out in sales and tell about how somebody's house was just totally vandalized, all the jewelry was stolen and all that. So we obviously have a fairly, you know, excessive security system, you know, here in our home. So it's a peace of mind situation. And that's what we tell people whenever we're doing a sales presentation, we're meeting with homeowners, we remind them that, you know, we get asked a question. Well, Russ, what would you do if it was your home? And that's a question I try to deflect because it's not my home, and it's not peace of mind for me. It's peace of mind for you. So we try to kind of dig in, ask a lot of questions as to what it's going to take to make them feel comfortable. Putting price aside, although it's important, let's put price aside for a minute and just find out what is it going to take for you to get a good night's sleep and know that you and your family, whether it be a large family, a single mother, whatever it is, so you can sleep well at night knowing that your home is secure and nobody gets in this house without setting off a loud alarm and they're going to hightail it away. So solutions are obviously home security is a big deal. We'll talk more about that later because that seems to be the solution. The cool thing about home security now, as opposed to when I got in it 30 years ago, it's become so darn affordable. I mean, you see it advertised on TV. It's all over the radio. Home security of various types has been the price has come down so low that mom and dad can afford it now. When I got into business 30, 33 years ago, I was selling to really upscale homes, businesses, of course. Banks and jewelry stores had security systems. Mom and pop didn't have one.
Right.
Now it's got to the place where everybody can have a security system, and they work. So that's important.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking when you brought that up, Russ, about security. I was in the security industry right when I got out of college. Was there only 6 months in Security Link of Ameritech. Loved it. Got involved in other things. Now I'm back in the security industry. In commercial sales for security camera software. But I remember what you talked about. The home industry was slowly but surely going away from the most valuable homes about 25 years ago and was transitioning more and more to other areas in your region. And you saw that evolution. CCTV, I think, was part of the evolution. The panic button was part of the evolution. Yep. A bunch of those different things.
Yeah. By the way, I know Ameritech real well. I was part of that team also way back there. They actually bought our company that I started with way back there. So we have something in common. But yeah, you're right. There's been a significant evolution in our industry. It's really, really changed. And I love where it's going. As opposed to what it was doing when you were in there, Neil, the alarm industry has gotten, or the alarm systems have gotten better. They've gotten easier to use, and they've gotten less expensive. And they do more these days. So it's been a win-win kind of a deal for the manufacturers, the alarm companies, and the end users.
It's absolutely incredible the amount of technology that gets packed into these very affordable systems today. I mean, this is the sort of technology that, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago would have cost you many, many times what it does now. And now you've got more functionality. It's more accessible. You can access it from your smartphone. You can pull up those cameras when you're on vacation. You can turn lights on and off, lock doors, unlock doors. I mean, it's like, it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, as an IT guy, I look at, you know, every day I see how things are advancing and how technology has just sort of infiltrated just about every industry you can think of. And the security industry, the blending together of the physical side of security products with the digital side of security products now has become such that the two are married and able to produce such an incredibly comprehensive solution for people and do it affordably. It's just such a win-win for the consumer.
Yeah, and some of the cool stuff that's coming out right now that's just hit this year, facial recognition. You can arm your alarm system now just by looking at it. How cool is that?
It's, yeah, facial recognition and gait recognition. Yep. And I mean, all of these different technologies, just, you know, artificial intelligence and being able to analyze people's faces and what their intent might be based on how their faces look. It's just, it's getting really crazy. I mean, I think some good, some bad, but, and some scary, but the bottom line is, you know, if it's making people safer, I guess we have to just find that place where we are comfortable with the safety side of it, but not such that the privacy side of it is compromised too too much. And that's always the tightrope. Yeah. And we've talked about that on the show before, that you gotta walk that line. And it's a line that's constantly moving. And it's a line that, you know, different people find themselves on one side or the other from time to time, because sometimes you may be more of a safety advocate, maybe when it's you, right? in your personal, you know, maybe privacy being, you know, in question, versus when you're on the security side of it and you're looking at protecting other people, mm-hmm. and trying to say, well, you know, okay, you need to maybe give up a little bit of that privacy in the, you know, in the interest of better security.
Yep.
So what is your background? How did you get into the security business, into the alarm industry and the alarm business?
Yeah, it was an interesting transition. Years ago, back in the mid-70s, I got in the telephone business, started off in Atlanta, came back home to Jacksonville and started a company, became a very large Toshiba dealer, and somebody wanted my business more than I did, so I sold it. And trying to decide what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And it so happened that I just had a security system installed in my company, and I thought it was really cool. And never had one before, even though I had thousands and thousands of dollars in inventory. Never even thought about an alarm system until somebody came by and sold me one. So got to thinking about that. And I realized as the country gets more liberal, we got more criminals on the streets, and things, you know, seem to be going downhill as far as crime is concerned. I took a hard look at it. And it was interesting because I went to areas like back to Atlanta, Macon, Georgia, Tallahassee, Florida, Pensacola, Orlando, talking to alarm companies, some of the largest independent companies in those towns, and asking them, what's your business model look like? What does your sales presentations look like? And guys, I got to tell you, it was really, really interesting. I found out most of the alarm owners and the guys that were supposedly sales managers knew very little about sales. This industry was wide open for someone to come in that could take this product and sell it. Versus, because what I was running into were guys that were technical. They were retired technicians from the phone company or something, opened up an alarm company because basically it's pulling wire and putting sensors on, you know, into wire and doing some programming. So I saw there was a great need. I thought, man, somebody could get in here and just kill it. And do a great job with this, because there is going to be a great, great need for this this product going forward, because crime was not getting better. Break-ins were, you know, really peaking. And so I thought this was going to be a great opportunity. So I did a lot of homework. Took me 6 weeks to decide. And I started with a little company here in Jacksonville called Scott Alarm that a retired police officer started. And in 9 years, we sold the company for over $40 million.
Wow. Okay. So you had success entrepreneur-wise before even getting into the security industry then. So you already knew the sales way, and you took an industry that really didn't understand sales and said, I could dominate this with a company, especially if I had the right tools in place to make it happen.
That's exactly right. And to this day, in fact, I was just telling someone, I was up in Boston last week and I was doing a workshop, and I was telling these guys, you know, I can sell, but I've been in this business for 30 years and I still do not know the part numbers of the products I'm selling. Okay, I can tell you what it does and how it does it and why it's important that you have one, but I'm more focused on sales and sales leadership and how to get people protected than I am worried about the technical side of this industry.
No, because then you're going to look up, you know, technical information. I mean, that's, you know, yeah. you're able to articulate to the people why they need a product and this is what it can do. I mean, that's, they're going to buy it. They don't care what the part number is. You'll figure that out.
Sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. So obviously you've been in the industry for a long time, and you've seen probably, I guess, a lot of the evolution of crime in different areas, you know, probably, you know, not just where you are, but the places that you've done business and traveled to. Why is there such a need? I think we can kind of know where I'm going with this, but why is there such a need these days for home security?
Well, I mean, it's obvious that, you know, crime is, there's people out there that want what we have, unfortunately. You know, if everybody did the right thing, we wouldn't have locks on our doors and stuff. And, you know, I'm a little older than you guys, but I remember growing up here in Jacksonville, Florida. We lived near the river over here, and I never had a key to my home. You know, just never. I remember when I was about 14 years old, we went on vacation to see my grandmother in Wisconsin. Dad was going to lock the door. Mom said, don't lock the door. The neighbor might need something. would be free to lock her out. And now, you know, as soon as we walk in the house, we lock the door. So, you know, it's a whole different mindset than we had, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And so there's people want to feel safe, and security systems are a great solution to that. And it's become, like we said earlier, it's become affordable, easier for mom and dad to get one. It's not just for the, you know, luxurious homes anymore, the million-dollar places. So everybody can afford them. And so like I said earlier, I just saw where there was a great need for this, and I saw where the technology was going to go, and I thought, this is going to be an incredible industry. And so the company I was with kind of started this zero down or low down kind of thing with security systems, and it just exploded all over the country.
That's pretty much the whole renting process, Russ. Before that, you had to buy the whole system.
Yeah.
There were companies out there we're competing with that you had to buy the whole system. So everyone thought, I can't afford this. Now it's basically you pay for installation, or you have free installation. You pay a monitoring fee monthly every month. And if you want other types of devices, you upsell those devices. And yep, that's how that industry kind of really changed, as I remember back so many years ago. But yep, I mean, that's something that people said, man, now poorer areas could have security systems, Russ, where they couldn't before.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a win-win deal. I mean, it's great stuff out there now. Most of the products are really, really good. Even what my competitors are selling is pretty good stuff these days. And so, and everybody ought to have one.
What do you think of these devices now, like these Ring systems where you have the doorbell cameras and the other sorts of devices that you can put in like that?
You know what? I love the doorbell cameras. We sell them. I'm with Bates Security now. I've got a 3-year contract with these guys. I'm working with them, and we sell a different model of that, but it's a great product. I mean, the fact that you can actually talk to someone before they ever get to your front door. We call these bad guys the porch bandits or the porch pirates, and it's made a significant difference. And so I know I've got a son that works for UPS, and he tells me around Christmas time there'll be people almost just following him around the neighborhoods, picking up packages before he drops them off. So, yeah, those things are great. Some of the other products, I always warn people, you know, there's a lot of stuff being advertised on TV right now, some do-it-yourself products, and I've warned people, you know, you got to be careful. Buying alarm systems is kind of like buying tires. They all look good, but they may not all be as reliable. There's a place here in Jacksonville up until a few years ago, you can buy recap tires, you know, put them on your car, and they look great. But if you're going down the interstate here, you know, in the summertime with your family passing an 18-wheeler at 85 miles an hour, you probably don't want to be riding on those things. And so when it comes to protection, you got to be thinking, when the burglar's at the back door, am I going to be glad I got a cheap alarm system, or do I have a good one? And so you kind of get what you pay for when it comes to tires and security systems. So you got to kind of be careful. I remind people, and go and look at the reviews of these companies and dig in deep. I mean, just don't get the top 3 or 4. I mean, get into it and talk to other people that have had one for a while before you invest in any security. So whether it be mine or anybody else's.
One of the concerns that I'm seeing and that other people are voicing with a lot of these products that are part of the, quote, Internet of Things, the IoT, is their ease in which they are hacked. Mm-hmm. And I started the segment off today talking about, you know, a hacking incident that's happening now. But, you know, this is another, I think, major concern that a lot of people aren't thinking about, right? Because if I can hack into the system that's controlling your house, I can open doors, I can view the cameras, I can see what you're doing in the house. I mean, so I think some of this has to be looked at also from the other side, and that is, you know, how are these systems being secured from the outside threats that are, you know, that they're put in place to protect us from in the first place?
Yeah. I can just speak for Honeywell because I work closely with that group and that manufacturer, and the encryption on that stuff is pretty incredible. I've never in my career had someone tell me that someone hacked into their security system or even into their video system that they may have in or outside of their home. So far, you know, knock on wood, we've been pretty fortunate, I think. But things can change.
Yeah, it does happen, unfortunately.
Definitely. It's something that you have to watch out for. And Russ, at one point, it'll come to that point in time when they're going to have to come up with some new solution, some sort of software to combat those hackers.
Yeah.
And I guess the simplicity of what you see in security systems in the home, it just depends on what you have, right? You talked about like that doorbell thing might be the only thing they have. They might not have a ton of sensors, right? Or they, it just depends on each person's home and what works best for that home, right?
Yeah, whatever it takes, like I said earlier, whatever it takes to give them peace of mind so they can get a good night's sleep, know their stuff is safe.
So you've been in the industry a while. Obviously, you probably have seen a lot of statistics and compiled, you know, seen reports and information about the types of people that are breaking into homes.
Yeah.
So who is it? I mean, I think everybody sort of has this vision of what the, you know, quote, burglar looks like, you know, the guy with the black mask on his face, and he goes up to the door and he jimmies a window or a door and goes in. So what have you found, or, you know, statistically, do you know, you know, are these hardened criminals? Are they teenagers? Are they a mix? Like, what's the percentage, you know, roughly of the people that are out there that we need to be concerned with?
Well, the Department of Justice actually breaks it down into five types of criminals that break into homes. I don't have the statistics on all of them. But I can tell you about kind of who they are and maybe a few statistics on a couple of them. The one that is glorified most on TV, and we refer to this one as the career criminal, is what he does for a living. You and I go to work and have our jobs every day. Well, his work is to stake out a home. Usually, almost always, he's going to find a beautiful million-dollar home somewhere in Florida. He'll probably be on the beach or some resort. And this guy is willing to stake his life, risk his life to break in this home. So these are, they're in the minority. You rarely hear about them, but when they do hit, they make a big impact. A few years ago here in Jacksonville, one actually got shot on a break-in attempt at a big home here at the beach in Jacksonville. The homeowner actually was awakened, heard a noise, and called the police, and the police actually had a gunfight in the garage with him and had to take him out. And so, and he was a career criminal. They found his car parked down the way, and in his car, he had a list of every home he had broken into from Hilton Head, South Carolina to Vero Beach, Florida. Every home he had broken into and what he had actually taken out of those homes and things he didn't steal that were in those homes. He
wanted to go,
yeah.
What a well-organized crook.
He was, yeah. He was well organized. The second type is really a grim part of our society. We call this the violent criminal. He's a sex offender, extortionist, kidnapper. Unfortunately, this guy strikes when women and children are home alone. Again, it's a very grim part of our society. And fortunately, this guy's also in the minority. But a good security system, even obviously protecting us, those kind of deals. Mm-hmm. The one we deal with the most of the five types is what we call the amateur. And these are these kids. The Department of Justice tells us that most of the residential break-ins are done by teenagers, middle teens to upper teens, usually 15 to 16, 17 years old. They've likely skipped school that day and they're driving through neighborhoods just randomly selecting a home. They drive by a house, looks like there's nobody home. They pull up, knock on the front door. Nobody answers the door. They look in for any signs of life. They see no dog barking. There's no TV noise. There's nothing going on. They kick the door in and run right for the master bedroom, looking for handguns, jewelry, cash, coin collections, those kind of things. So that's
they really haven't premeditated. They're more criminals of opportunity.
Exactly. These are just kids. I mean, and you see them once in a while around here. During school hours, driving around town, you wonder, what are they up to? They're 15 years old. You know, where are you going? What are you doing? But a lot of people think, well, they staked my house out, and these kids were just driving by, looked like there was nobody there. They typically will park in front of the home. They won't pull in the driveway because they don't want to get trapped. They'll pull in the driveway. There's usually at least two of them because one guy's got to be the lookout. I had a customer just recently tell me I was out on a call with one of the Bates security salespeople. And the lady told me, she said, Russ, you're not going to believe this. The guy drank a beer and cooked pizza in my microwave, leftover pizza, while they were breaking in my house. So I said, that was the guy watching the driveway. He was your lookout. So he was making sure you didn't come home during the event. And they always have that back door unlocked so they can get out in a hurry in case you did pull in the driveway. And the car is usually either in front of the house or maybe one house down. They're back out the back door across the fence and back in their car probably before you ever get in your home. So, yeah. So that's the those are the amateurs. These are the kids probably. I've heard different statistics in different areas, but it's at least over 50% of all the break-ins that take place are done by these kids. The next type is what we call the home invader. We've all heard about these guys. They disguise themselves as delivery drivers or whatever. And unfortunately, they do strike when people are home. They do it on purpose many times around dinner time. They'll pull up, and there's usually a couple of them. We've even heard of them having the child with them, having the child come up and knock on your door, so you automatically open the door when there's a little kid standing there.
Oh, wow.
And they come in right behind them. And usually it's a situation where they're going to force someone into the house to open the safe. And it's interesting. Read this the other day from the Department of Justice. Almost 50% of the time when there's a home invasion, there are shots fired. And oftentimes the home invader is the one that gets hit. Yeah, absolutely. So we have those to deal with. The fifth type of criminal we deal with is the vandal. And now the vandal is, these are usually younger teenagers or even preteens. These kids are just out for fun. They don't want to steal anything. They just want to destroy property. These are the criminals that the insurance companies fear the most, and they're the most destructive. These amateurs we were talking about, they do about $2,200 damage per house, including the damage they did to the front door, as well as items that might have been stolen. These vandals will do $5,000 to $6,000. I mean, these kids are slashing water beds, turning over aquariums, throwing food out of your freezer, you know, just destroying inside of your throwing paint. I was in a home about 2 years ago. A retired state trooper got in his house and found yellow paint in his garage, took it inside and threw it all over everything.
Oh, man.
he was on vacation, came back a week later, and the place was, I mean, you can imagine your carpet, your TV, the walls, painting on the wall, just yellow paint thrown everywhere. Those are vandals and very destructive.
Wow. And all these are very informative, Russ, and I wouldn't think about this. And would you say, is that because you live in Florida? The Florida story? We have it on our radio show every day, how crazy Florida is. And now this criminal list in Pennsylvania, especially in Pittsburgh, in these suburbs, maybe because the families are a little different. We look out for each other a little bit differently. But Florida's crazy, isn't it? I mean, the Florida story's a headline every day on this one morning show in Pittsburgh. So you got some pretty different people in Florida.
Yeah, it was really interesting. A few years ago, a list came out of the cities in the country that were the highest rated for highest in burglary attempts. And Jacksonville, Florida was number 14th. And I think out of the top 10, four of those cities were in Florida. And out of the top 10, I think seven of them were in the South. Now I just read recently that Detroit now is number one. They've jumped up there, and there's about out of the top 10, I think four or five now are north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Wow.
Just goes to show you. I mean, it really doesn't matter where you are, but it goes in spurts. There are different pockets of the, the criminals. I don't know. Maybe they all move to one area and say, hey, we're going to hit this area for a little while. Or I mean, I would think they would be going to places that there are no nicer homes. Like people go to Florida, they go to retire, they figure, you know, you have money. That's probably one reason why Florida is a big, you know, target. Just like, you know, obviously not Detroit. You don't think of, you know, high end when you go to Detroit. I'm sure there's some nice homes there, but you don't think I'm going to retire to Detroit, yeah. You know? So
that's true.
When they are breaking into a home, okay, whether it's a career criminal or a kid or whatever, I mean, maybe it changes, but I would think they're probably looking for something very specific to steal, like jewelry or something like that. Is there anything that they're absolutely looking for that we should protect more than other things?
Yeah, there's about four or five things that we see most often stolen. Again, jewelry, of course, is very important. In fact, we see from the detectives I've talked to, and I've literally been on hundreds or in hundreds of homes just shortly after the break-in occurred. I mean, while the police are there, they're dusted for fingerprints, I'm there also. Sometimes they'll call the police and they call the alarm company, hey, we need to get a security system in here. And it's interesting, in Jacksonville, we're a military town. We have two naval air stations here. and a lot of Navy wives. And when they get when their home gets vandalized or broken into, some of them tell us, "I'm not even going back in that house till you get the alarm system installed." So we've seen I've seen a lot and been in a lot of homes. You know, and every home I've ever been to in my career, I've never been in a home where if the burglar got inside the house, he didn't hit the master bedroom. These guys are looking for handguns, jewelry, hidden cash, coin collections, and drugs. They'll go in your medicine, just rake everything. They don't care what it is, just get it all.
Typically, and hoping they'll find exactly something of value.
And half the time, they don't know what they're stealing. They don't know what it is. They'll try anything, I guess. And typically, they want to steal what they put in their pockets. Now, while they were in your home, they saw your gun rack in, you know, Jacksonville, Florida, or Florida is a lot like every other city in the country. We have a lot of outdoorsmen here, a lot of hunters and fishermen. So it's not unusual to see a gun rack in a house or a computer system or floppy tape. We've seen this happen so many times where they'll break in and steal the things they can put in their pockets. But while they were there, they saw this other stuff. And a few weeks later, they'll come back. We've had several customers have gotten hit twice in 2 days.
Wow.
Sure, because they saw stuff they couldn't carry the first time.
And the second time they come in your house, they're a little more comfortable.
Sure, they've been there before. They know the house.
Yeah, exactly.
And they know how long you're going to get back. And they have it, you know, staked out and things like that. Are there times, Russ, that people could find out when they see that someone's staking out a house? What kind of warning signs should you look out for, especially when you are home and they're trying to stake out a house?
Well, they're really not. We don't see them staking out the house that much. I mean, like I said earlier, this is just usually random. But if you see a car with a few teenagers in it driving by your house really slow, that's probably a red flag, and it wouldn't hurt to report that. Especially if you don't recognize the car, if you're in a, you know, like a suburb or residential neighborhood, just you have to be alert to these things. So, there's not much you can do. You just have to hope and pray that that you're not home when they do hit the house. And if you are home, you have to know what to do when someone knocks on your door.
Right. And so what should the homeowner do?
That is a great question, and this is something we ask customers this often when we're on sales presentations, especially dealing with senior adults or maybe a single mother or somebody living alone. I ask them this question: Ms. Jones, what would you do if you're home alone and any time of the day or night, and someone knocks at your door? Well, how would you respond? And it's amazing, more than half the time, probably 70% of the time, they say they would not answer the door. Well, we know that when the criminal comes to the door, he's going to knock on the door and make sure you're not home. And if you don't answer the door, then they're kicking it in. And then you have what police call an unexpected confrontation between a homeowner and a criminal. And obviously, someone's going to get hurt. The criminal's thinking, you know, I've been to jail before. The police have my photo ID, my fingerprints, not going back. And what started off to be just a property crime now has turned into something extremely violent. So we let people know. Yeah. Wow. When you're home and someone knocks at your door, don't open the door, but answer the door. My daughter just happened to her a few years ago. She lived here in Jacksonville. I'm on the phone with her, and she's telling me, "Dad, there's somebody at the door." I said, "Okay." And she's whispering. I said, "Why are you whispering?" She said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, answer the door." She goes to the door. She's got the baby in her arms. She goes to the door, and she says, "Can I help you?" And they said, oh. Obviously, she startled them because it had taken her a minute or two to get to the door. And they said, "Have you seen our dog? We lost a dog. Have you seen a black dog?" And she said, "No." And they ran and got in the van and spun around and took off.
That's scary.
That would have been bad.
Yeah, and she's on the phone with you while it's happening. So you're
right.
Yeah, it's.
I said, "Hang up and call the police."
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's good advice there for everybody to take to heart. So don't, you know, pretend you're not there and be quiet. You know, maybe be assertive and, you know, go right at the door and say, "Hey, can I help you?" Don't open the door, obviously.
Right.
You know, if you got a peephole, maybe look through it, or maybe not, you know, depending on somebody that comes right up and, you know, sees an eyeball and decides to shoot through the, you know, people there. But, definitely, you know, you'd want to answer the door verbally and, you know, ask if there's some way to, you know, what they're looking for, who is it, et cetera, et cetera. So what would be the next step? Now they say something that gives you cause to believe they are, it's a valid individual.
Well, yeah, sure. You got identification. In fact, our salespeople, when they go on sales calls, even for Bates Security sometimes, they'll ask to slide your card under the door. Okay, your business card. So they actually know that we are who we say we are. We're our shirts and we got a card and everything. It's still funny about opening the door to someone they don't know. So, man, error on the side of caution.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's so better safe than sorry.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's good, business card. And so proactively, what is the best or what is what you would recommend that homeowners do in order to protect their property? I'm assuming you're going to say put an alarm system in, right? but specifically, what could they do? You know, maybe the type of alarm, the things that it should be, that you should be alarming, doors, windows, et cetera, motion detector, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Security system is number one. In fact, if you ask any police officer that you know, it's extremely likely they're going to have a security system in their home. I know I've got a grandson that just he's been on the police force now for a couple of years, and the first thing he did was put a security system in his house as soon as he got sworn in. And because police officers see it, they know they rarely go to a break-in where there is a security system. So you want to make sure you've got signs posted out there so anybody driving by knows. You know, these criminals are looking for the path of least resistance. And why go to my home when I've got a sign sitting out here that says my home is protected by Bates Security, when they could go down the street somewhere where there's not one, okay? In fact, the insurance industry is all over this. I mean, that's why homeowners insurance companies give discounts for people on their premiums if they have a monitored security system. So it makes a big difference. An old statistic, I'm not sure if I assume it's still probably fairly accurate, but national statistics says that 1 in 3 homes in America, okay, will get broken into 1 in 3 every 20 years. Now, if you live in South Florida, but one in South Florida, it's probably greater than that. If you live in Montana, it may not be quite that big. That's if you do not have a security system, 1 in 20 every 3 years. If you have a security system with a sign in the yard, 1 in 250.
Wow.
Every year. So it makes a big, big difference. Also,
just put the signs out there and the stickers on the door, whether you got a system or not, it's still going to be
I mean, people talk and you want a security system. Obviously, the insurance company won't give you the discount for having signs. You got to have that thing monitored.
Sure.
And as far as the security system's concerned, obviously, doors have got to be protected, all outside doors. In most homes, as we see, all the windows would be protected, at least on the ground floor. Second floor windows are optional unless you have lattice work or something that's going to get you up to another landing where you can get in that second floor window. And, of course, then you want to have at least one interior motion sensor that's activated when you're not in the house. So in the event they busted out a sliding glass door or they came through a window without opening the window, that motion sensor is going to catch them before they hit the master bedroom, set off the alarm, call the police. So also some other solutions that we like, outside lighting, that's really important. We recommend, although we don't sell them, we do recommend motion-sensitive outside lights on each corner of the home, so anybody approaching the home immediately can be shocked when the lights come on and, oops, somebody's here. And so that will slow them down, especially, you know, obviously, if it's at night. So, and again, the video doorbells are a great deterrent.
I also, you know, in a lot of the work that I've done, research, et cetera, writing, another thing they tell you to make sure you do not have are too many bushes in the front of your house that block somebody being able to see the windows from the street. Because if your neighbors don't see somebody behind those windows breaking in, what good is that? So you should make sure that you have, you know, a line of sight to at least the ground level around the home to windows and doors, et cetera, so that somebody can't hide behind those bushes and sit there and jimmy a window for 20 minutes before they get in.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that if they're sitting out there for all the world to see, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Keep those shrubs cut, yeah.
Trim down, good. Well, lots of good tips for people because, you know, motion-sensitive lights, you know, they're definitely a good one. You know, people don't want to be lit up. Some of these commercials you see out there now are pretty funny. You know, the guys come up to the door and it's, you know, the sensor and the lights turn on and they're like, you know, like a deer in the headlights and turn around and run. And, hey, yeah, like you said before, Russ, nobody wants to be, you know, they're looking for easy targets.
Yeah.
And anything that you can do to show a criminal that you're not going to be an easy target, no matter where you are targeted, whether you're out and about or whether you're at your home, is going to be a benefit to you.
Yeah. Another important thing, too, let me just throw this in there, too. I mean, keep your garage door closed.
Yeah.
Unless you're working in the garage or you're in the front yard, keep that door closed. That is an open invitation to get stuff stolen out of your garage. And probably all of us have something of value in your garage. Last year, my son and I were going to go fishing. We were going to go offshore. And he was going to be at my house about 5 a.m. And I went outside to start. The boat was parked on the side of the house. I was loading things in the boat. Came back in to make a sandwich, left the garage open. I heard a car in my driveway and looked up and there's a black Camaro backing up in my driveway. My son does not have a black Camaro.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, so I stepped outside and they spun out and took off. But I was about to become a victim.
Incredible. They saw the open garage. They're like, oh, look at this.
Yeah. 5 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
I got to close the garage last night. What can I find?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you, Russ, when you enter a home to do sales, what do you recommend for a home? Like, what do you kind of take a look at specifically to see if they need, what kind of motion detectors they need, what kind of security system they need based on their landscaping and the size of their home and different things? What do you come up with in that game plan?
Well, it could be a variety of things. Obviously, we always recommend that we got to do the doors. We won't even install a security system unless all the exterior doors are protected. And then what we do, Neil, is we go through a series of questions. We call it the home security evaluation, where we're going to ask a series of about 15 questions to determine, you know, kind of what their interest level is in some of the new home automation products. What do they see as the biggest issue? We ask them questions like, if you were going to break in your house, how would you get in? What areas, particular areas of your home are the most concerning for you? And then we get through with that. We'll actually do a site survey. We call it the security survey, where we actually take a sheet of paper. We walk around the house and we make notes of all around that house about, look, we talk about vulnerable areas. We'll even take them outside the home and we call it getting a burglar's eye view of your home. So we'll maybe walk out as far as the street and say, let's look at your house now. And this, and you know, if we were the criminal, how would we get in this house? In fact, we'll even ask them, one of the questions we ask is, last time you got locked out, how did you get in?
That's a good one.
Yeah, the teenagers usually know how that works. And so, but yeah, so based on that information, then we design usually three different levels of security for them, and plan A, plan B, plan C, and then we let them choose. We say, you know, in fact, the closing question that we asked, Mr. and Ms. Jones, if you were going to make a buying decision tonight for security for your home, which plan would be most comfortable for you, plan A, plan B, or plan C? Because, again, like I said earlier, I can't design security system for somebody else because I don't know what it's going to take to give them peace of mind. And that's what we tell them, you know, put price aside, let's see what it's going to take to make you sleep good at night, okay? And then you can always add on to it later on, too, if you want to. But let's be practical here. Let's be smart. And I just want you to, once this thing's installed, to be able to rest well and knowing that your home is safe and secure, which usually is what we call a full perimeter system, all windows and doors, one or two motion detectors, probably some fire protection also in the home, and maybe a keypad in the kitchen where they first come in, and maybe another keypad in the bedroom. And that's and from there, we can get into home automation and some other devices also. But that's the basic security.
No, that's great. And it's what, you know, what people should have. You know, I mean, I have a security system. I've had it for years and years. It's simple. It's, you know, you get used to it in no time. And if you forget something, it reminds you.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what's nice about them.
You know, some of the cool things we have now, excuse me, some of the cool things we have now is these geographical boundaries. We call it geofencing now on your security system.
Yes, familiar with that.
Yeah, if I go more than a mile from my home and my alarm is not armed, it reminds me of my phone beeps, and I can pull over and I can arm my system from my smartphone. So some really cool stuff.
Technology, baby. It's crazy. Yeah, it's making our lives easier and keeping us more secure. And that's, you know, one of the big things here is, you know, how do we improve our safety? And because there are so many ways that we need to do it today. And if technology can make it a little bit easier for us, you know, we don't have to, you know, remember everything. In this case, you know, like you're saying, hey, it can even remind you. Or you can check, you know, you pull it up on your phone. Hey, is my alarm system armed? You know, is that door locked? Well, let me just make sure, you know, you can do all of these things from the phone and add all kinds of functionality to these systems, because the technology and the integration is just getting tighter and tighter and just more and more function in everything. So alarm system monitoring, there's all kinds of companies out there. You see these ads all the time. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, maybe the different types of monitoring or, what your take is on the different sorts of alarm system monitoring companies that are out there?
Well, yeah, there's obviously a lot of ways, I guess, of what people may understand is what alarm monitoring really is all about. Alarm systems should be monitored by what we call a UL, Underwriters Laboratory Approved Central Station. I know 30 years ago, there were a lot of companies out there that had central stations that were not UL approved. And I think now in Florida, I only know of one or two that aren't UL, and they're doing basically just residential.
So what does that mean?
If you're a UL central station, you've met certain criteria. For instance, you can do a lot of businesses, government buildings, banks, jewelry stores sometimes that require a certain level of protection, not just from the security system, but from the monitoring center itself. To be a UL central station, you've got to have a certain backup battery packs, generators on standby. So in the event of a natural disaster in your community, you got to be able to keep that thing running for a certain period of time. You've got to have fireproof facilities for your central station. Your operators have got to be drug tested, background checked. There has to be so many supervisors on duty at all times. So if you have a central station that has that UL sticker, they're probably pretty good. The important thing is make sure that your system is monitored by a UL central station. And you want to get a central station that has a company that has a network of stations, not just one little local central station. So it's
because you need that redundancy. If something happens to that one station, you need to make sure that, you know, hey, a natural disaster takes this one out from a flood or a tornado or something, that they can flip over and there's another station, you know, two states over that takes over.
Absolutely. In fact, it's better if they have several central stations because for instance, we had a hurricane in Florida. One of the central stations goes down, you don't want to just dump all that onto another central station. You want to distribute that among three or four other central stations, and one station just doesn't get hammered. So it's important that you have that that network. And so we tell people, man, do your homework. Not
right, exactly.
Not talking about price and product and service, but so let's talk about central monitoring. Mm-hmm. Who does it? Where is it at? Tell me about how much time. How fast are you going to respond when my alarm sounds?
Right. Russ, I was going to ask about commercial. When you talk about why is monitoring not big in the commercial industry? Why is it a lot of time? I mean, it's being monitored for, you know, foul-ups of cameras are down or different things, but we don't really see the monitoring in the commercial industry as much as we do in residential.
I don't know, Neil. I tell you, I know here in Florida, everything we sell or any alarm company here sells is monitored. I think sometimes business owners kind of go to sleep. They think, well, you know, I've got a security system, I've got stickers and signs, so I'm not going to have, I don't want to have to pay another, you know, $20-$30 a month for local or monthly monitoring fee. And so they just kind of let it go. In most cases, or in a lot of cases, the insurance companies aren't requiring it to get any kind of a discount on their insurance at their office. Okay. So they just kind of let it go. But I know we and most legitimate alarm companies will not sell you an alarm system unless there's some kind of reoccurring revenue attached to it, unless you want to pay a lot of money up front.
So that maybe is the question that they don't really bring it up as much in the commercial industry. Maybe it's just expected.
Yeah.
And I'm in a different phase. I am working with a company called Lensec that's video management software manufactured for security cameras. And when, I mean, they used to be a security integrator, but I guess I've never had those conversations to understand. So I'm more focusing on the camera side of the business instead of the days. But